Several weeks ago, when I was here, I preached on a very difficult, heavy kind of doctrine, the sovereignty of God. And what you just heard is a perfect example of the sovereignty of God, because what this three adults picked out as a song is exactly what I'll be preaching about this morning. It's important for you to understand several things about preaching. I think I can be someone who could talk to you and teach you about preaching, since I've been doing it for 65 years, and I've preached over 12,000 sermons. Some sermons are easy to receive. Some sermons are fun, and we rejoice in them. Some sermons are heavy, because they come down on us very hard with the Word of God. And then there are some sermons that are difficult to understand as a human being, and this is one of them, because a minister could get himself in trouble saying some of the things that I will say this morning, because I want you to truly understand. I'll be preaching this morning on the humanity of Jesus. That's what happened in Bethlehem. God became a man. I wrote some verses down so you could understand them, understand what I'm talking about this morning. As we think about the humanity of Jesus, I want you to know that he was called a man in the Bible. The scripture says that Paul said, there's one God, one mediator between God and man, the man, Christ Jesus. This man, Christ Jesus, had the attributes of a male human being. He slept on a boat. He was thirsty from the cross. He said, I thirst. He was hungry, Mark tells us. But even though he was a man, he was called God. Isaiah 9:6 says, unto us a child will be born, a son will be given, the government will be on his shoulder, he'll be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. And on that second Sunday after his resurrection, when Jesus appeared to the disciples and Thomas was finally there, he said, as he looked on Jesus, when he offered his hands as proof of who he was, he said, my Lord and my God. Why is it important for you to understand the humanity of Jesus? See, unless you truly, in your heart, understand the humanity of Jesus, you'll never realize that he is able to sympathize with us in all of our frailties. He was a man. He was born. He grew. He got thirsty, got hungry, became physically weak, and finally died as a man. And as a man, he had deep emotions. The scripture says that John said, my soul sorroweth even unto death. And when Lazarus died, he wept. And of course, God said that he excelled in everything that he did humanly. I'm going to turn to the most significant passage of scripture in the book of Luke about the birth of Jesus. In Luke 2, verses 26 through 28, the Bible says, in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin espoused, engaged to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came in unto her and said, hail, thou art highly favored. The Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. Perhaps of all the Christmas hymns that we sing, one of the latest Christmas songs that we've learned to love was just written 15 years ago. Now, you've heard it many times, but I want you to listen with new ears this morning. I want you to listen with insight beyond your normal ability, asking God to truly help you understand what was going on in Mary's mind. And before we hear this song, let me lead us in prayer. Father, all we ask is that the dear Holy Spirit will take the message of the morning and impress it so much upon our hearts that we'll fall more in love with the lover of our souls, even Jesus. For it's in his name we pray. Amen. And if you'll play that song, I'll appreciate it. Thank you.
Mary, did you know that your baby boy will one day walk on water? Mary, did you know that your baby boy will save our sons and daughters? Did you know that your baby boy has come to make you new? This child that you've delivered will soon deliver you. Mary, did you know that your baby boy will give sight to a blind man? Mary, did you know that your baby boy will calm a storm with his hand? Did you know that your baby boy has walked where angels trod? When you kiss your little baby, you've kissed the face of God. Your baby boy is Lord of all creation. Mary, did you know that your baby boy will one day rule the nations? Did you know that your baby boy is heaven's perfect lamb? This sleeping child you're holding is the great I
am. 25 years ago, Max Lucado wrote one of his earliest first books on the birth of Jesus. And the words that he said, he is a wordsmith beyond ability of most men, just really grabbed me, impressed me. It caused me to imagine what it must have been like from a human point of view in heaven when they heard this message. And then, of course, I was really impressed with the one who delivered the message, Michael the Archangel. And having a vivid imagination, I want you to join with me in a message imagining some things that may well have come to the minds of some. I'm going to be Gabriel. Gabriel must have scratched his head when he got the order from God. Now you have to understand, Gabriel never questioned any order that God ever gave. But this one? Sending fire, dividing seas. Now, that's what he liked to do. When God spoke, Gabriel simply went. You see, word had gotten out all over heaven among the angels of God that God had made a decision to become a human. Gabriel was ecstatic because he knew he'd be the one to make the message plain. I mean, in Gabriel's mind, he could imagine that moment when it came true, when God entered the world. Wow, here comes a flaming chariot and God's sitting on it. Well, maybe he just descends on a fiery cloud. That would get attention. Or maybe in a Shekinah burst of glory, Shekinah burst of light glory, out pops God. Now that would have really made attention. But that may have been what Gabriel expected, but what he got was the address of some obscure town in Israel. And the message was very simple. God will become a baby. Tell the mother to name the baby Jesus, and tell her also not to be afraid. Now, if I were going to mark down what I wanted you to understand about this message, I would simply call the message One Moment in Time. I mean, it all happened really in one moment in time. A remarkable moment. As moments go, it was basically no different from all the other moments of time. Especially if you pick it off the timeline of history and look at it and say, what's different? You really can't tell. It would look exactly like all the rest. And like all the rest of the moments of time, it came and it went. But ladies and gentlemen, you've got to understand deeply in your heart that in reality, there never was a moment like that moment. For at that moment, God became human and tabernacled, dwelt down there on the earth. Talk about a momentous moment. Divinity arrived on the earth. Heaven herself had opened up her most precious one in a human womb. Can you imagine? Can you imagine the all-powerful God put himself in an instant into the possibility of being destroyed, pierced, broken? He who was larger than the universe became an embryo. I mean, the one who sustains the world with a word now is going to be dependent upon the nourishment of a peasant girl? God became a fetus. Holiness was sleeping in the womb of a human being. The creator of the world, if you think about it, was being created humanly. Gabriel thought, when he heard the message, God becoming a baby? He had seen babies before. He even protected a little baby in the bulrushes in Egypt. You remember that story. But God? Really? Gabriel knew that even the heavens couldn't contain God. How could a body then contain God? And a baby? Do you have any idea what comes out of babies? Babies have to be carried, fed, bounced, bathed. Can you imagine a peasant girl bouncing God on her shoulder? Yet, when Gabriel looked down, there he was in the womb of a girl. God gave him two eyebrows and a couple of elbows and a couple of kidneys and an appendix. And he stretched against the womb, the walls of her womb. And he floated in the amniotic fluids of his mother. How'd this happen? When did it happen? In a flash of light? Like an all-powerful conqueror would come? But no, as a baby he came, whose first cries were heard by a peasant girl and her sleepy husband in the middle of the night in a stable in Bethlehem. This was difficult for Gabriel to understand. No hoopla, no silk, no hype, no party, no nothing. In fact, if it were not for the shepherds, there would have been no reception whatsoever. And were it not for a group of stargazers, he would never have received a gift on his birthday. It's unbelievable, Gabriel thought, to realize that the first hands who held him would be calloused and maybe even dirty. Well, let's go back to that moment when he heard what God asked him to do. Tell a peasant girl she's going to be the mother of God. He wondered about the name. Well, I think I can name him, he thought to himself. We'll call him the Eminent One. Or we'll just call him His Majesty. Or the One Heaven Sent. But the message said, tell Mary to call him Jesus. Jesus. Yes, Jesus. Didn't God know there was a Jesus on every block in Israel? Oh, and by the way, take this message of yours to a little peasant girl named Mary. Mary? There were Marys all over the place. Oh, this one is pregnant while she's engaged to a man in Nazareth. Some guy named Joseph. I must tell you, as Gabriel, the archangel, I peeked over the heaven's gates and was amazed at what I saw. Mary was not a queen. The mother of God didn't come from a special family. She was a Jewish peasant girl who was hardly out of her acne experience. He couldn't understand this. And she was engaged to a guy named Joseph. Let me look again and see who. He must come from a tremendous family. He's a carpenter. As I looked down from glory, I saw him with sawdust all over him, all over his beard, a nail apron around his waist. And Gabriel might have thought, God, do you really mean that this is the guy that Jesus is going to call dad at the supper table? Hard to understand. Why, he's nothing more than a common laborer. What if he gets laid off? What if he decides to run off with some other girl? Gabriel must have had thought after thought. Do God's angels have musings like this? No. But it satisfies my imagination to think like I wish I could have thought had I been Gabriel at that time. So again, we turn to what God has to say about this. God says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. And this Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. And Paul said, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. But he emptied himself of his reputation and took upon himself the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Because of that, God hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow of things in heaven, things in earth, and things under the earth. Are we stunned by the manner in which God entered the world? He was born just like that. And for 33 years, he would feel everything you and I felt. He felt weak. He grew weary. He was afraid of failure. He got colds. He burped and probably had body odor. His feelings got hurt. His feet got tired. And I am dead sure he had headaches. Now, everything I just said sounds irreverent. Sounds bad. To think of Jesus in this light is irreverent. It's not something that we normally do. It makes us uncomfortable. It's much easier to take the humanity out of the incarnation. It's better to clean the manure out of the stable. The stench and everything that he went through coming into this world. Act like his brown eyes never saw anything bad. Like he never swiped the sweat from his brow and never snored or ever blew his nose. You see, it's easier to see God that way. But trust me, as someone who has proclaimed the message of God for 65 years, it is dangerous to just look upon Jesus as the eternal divinity of God. When you do that, he becomes detached. He becomes away from us. You've got to allow Jesus to be as human as God the Father intended him to be. He suffered pain. He got hungry, thirsty, had to learn obedience. At the cross experience in Gethsemane, he clawed the ground trying to find answers. He was faithful, and yet he was tempted. Did he deal with anxiety? No doubt about that. How about loneliness when he said the foxes of the fields have holes? Have you been rejected? Rejected. My, listen to him. My God, why have you left me? Discouraged? Have you ever been discouraged? How long am I going to be with you, disciples? He said, why don't you listen to me? Criticism? He's nothing but a son of a harlot. It's critically important that you recognize that not for a moment, not for one scintilla of a moment, am I suggesting that in his humanity he encountered sin and succumbed to it, for he did not. That's what makes him so important to us. He faced everything that we face and became victorious over it. And because of that, you too can be victorious in all of the vicissitudes and difficulties of life. All right, let's get back to Gabriel. I like it. How long did he flutter over Bethlehem, that little town, before he made that announcement? I don't know. But the moment came, and he told her the name, and he told her the plan, and he told her not to be afraid. And when she hesitated for a moment, he simply said to her, "Mary, with God, nothing is impossible." As Gabriel looked over that little tiny village, the sounds and noise were surrounding the fact that hundreds upon hundreds of people were flocking into this little town to register for a new taxation. It had never happened before in the generation that was living in that small town. And as night gave way to dawn, people were already in the streets. Vendors were positioning themselves on every street corner, hawking their wares. That inn, there was only one inn that we know of in that little village. And even before that night, it was filled up. The owner of the inn, of course, had awakened earlier than normal on that first Christmas morning. I mean, after all, his inn was full and every available mat and blanket had been put out and charged to people. And yes, he had told a number of families and others there was no room for them in the inn. In fact, as he got up, he was too busy to even think about that young couple with the woman looking like she'd have a baby at any moment and how they felt. A baby at any moment. Ladies, have you had babies before? Have you had them in a filthy manger? With cobwebs on the ceiling, dung all over the floor, and mice scurrying around? But God had entered the world as a baby in a stable. Off to one side of that scene were the shepherds, silently trying to understand what they had seen and heard that night. For you see, that night, their night watch was interrupted with a blinding flash of light and a symphony of choral voices praising God. And as this scene proceeded, over in the corner was a man. It's Joseph. He's half asleep. He has not been able to figure this whole thing out. The mystery of this event still has him puzzled. And he just doesn't even have energy enough to deal with the situation. But there's one thing that's important this morning. The little mother is safe and the baby is fine. Mary, like most all mothers, at this moment is wide awake, her head resting on the soft leather pillow of her horse's saddle. Her pain has been eclipsed by the wonder of this little baby in her arm, something only a mother can understand. From Scripture, we know that God, that Mary knew from the very beginning, she was holding God, her Son, her Lord, her Majesty, but yet the one who later in life, recognizing her need because she was a sinner like all the others, regardless of what some religious people might say, she called him my Savior. Can you imagine at this point in history, the only one who knows what's going on is a teenage girl in a stable in Bethlehem. As she looked down at her baby, she must have thought that he looked like anything but a king. His face is prunish and red. And while his cry was healthy, it was still the cry of a healthy but helpless child. A child totally dependent upon his mother for his well-being. And while Gabriel watched, the little village hummed on. The merchants were unaware that God had visited their planet. Why, the people of that little village would have scoffed if anybody had told them that their Messiah had just been born. Why? They were all too busy to consider the possibility, and they missed it all because they weren't looking. So much like all of us today going about our lives. Again, we say, he who is omnipotent became an embryo. The one who sustained the world became dependent upon a teenage girl. God, a fetus, holiness, sleeping in a womb. Angels, I am certain, over the next 33 years, watched as Mary cared for this very special child. And yet, can't you imagine with me that the other little children played with him up and down the street? And as he grew into a teenage years, some girl got a crush on him, and he had to face that. For he was tempted in all things as we are. This is exactly what Paul says in Hebrews. We don't have a high priest who cannot be touched, but he was tempted in all points. You think he was tempted to be lazy? Think he was tempted to procrastinate? Think he was tempted to deal with, hey, do you not understand who I am? Pride? Arrogance? Had I been Jesus, I'd have stepped on some of those guys like cockroaches. But he was never that way. Impurity? No, Jesus successfully navigated every criticism and problem in life. Can't you imagine that Satan, whose sole life was to destroy Jesus, and on every occasion, he took advantage. And yet there he was, a little baby, completely divine, completely human. And it all happened in one unbelievable moment in history. I believe Mary, on this occasion and others, must have said, as he was a baby in her arms, rest well, little child. And she looked down at those tiny hands, those hands that were reserved for works recorded in the scriptures, such as touching a leper's wound and wiping away a widow's tear and clawing the ground in Gethsemane. Your eyes are beautiful, she said on numerous occasions. I'm sure those eyes that would look out into a world bent on hellishness. You see, those eyes would see human nakedness, human selfishness, humans causing pain and hell's deepest pit. She probably was amazed, as most mothers are, at that little tiny tongue and mouth. And yet it was from that mouth that he'd raise the dead. And from that mouth, he would still the storms. And from that mouth, he would say, peace be still to you. And those tiny feet, oh, they'd take him to places that broke his heart. But above all else, she was so glad as he grew that little tiny heart of his was pumping the blood of life through the universe. For it is through that blood that he voluntarily shed upon the cross of Christ that gets you a place in heaven. Wow. She may not have understood that at that time, but with Gabriel I've wondered. I wish I could have seen him pray. I wonder if whenever he saw a rainbow, he thought of something else. I wonder if whenever he saw the procession of the little lambs being sacrificed, that he acted different. Why was it that every now and then it seemed like he was listening to someone with a distant ear that nobody else could hear? I wonder what he did when he got his first haircut. Can you imagine? I wonder who his best friends were. I wonder what his mom, his brothers and sisters really thought about him. See, we're dealing with the birth of Jesus. He was born. So many names God could have told Gabriel to call him. What the Bible calls him. Son of God. Lamb of God. Light of the world. Bright in the morning star. Alpha and Omega. The Rose of Sharon. I mean, all these names stretch the bounds of human language in an effort to try and capture the grandeur of God. But try as you must, we have to go back to that human phrase. Words simply cannot express his name. Well, there is one name. It's not small. It's not grand. But it fits him like Cinderella's shoe fit. Call his name Jesus. Used 600 times in the Bible. The Greek form of Joshua, Joshua, and Jehoshua in the Hebrew language. What would we call our son if we were God? We would probably call him Reverend Holiness, Angelic Divinity number 2. But God chose a human name for the human Jesus because he wanted him to be touchable and reachable and available to everyone.
If Jesus were here today, he'd cook hamburgers with you on your grill. He was that kind of a man. He'd play with your children, but he's not here in the manner that you think he is. But he is. And so the whole message of Christmas says to those disciples who have been disappointed, it's okay, I'm in charge. Who are in anxiety over things they cannot understand, it's okay, trust me. Who have fear racking them because of the unknown, just leave it up to me. But you don't know how I've been hurt. I understand your resentment and your rejection. But at this season of the year, my brother, my sister, even in the flesh, have criticized me. I understand. I was called many names. And it's Christmas. And I'm lonely. He knows loneliness. And so people came to Jesus. They came to him at night like Nicodemus. They came to him on the Emmaus Road. They came and followed him all around the Sea of Galilee. People in that day invited him into their homes. They placed their children at his feet. Why? Because he acted like a priest with an elevated authority? No, because he could empathize with them. He understood them and what they were going through. He wants to come near to us today and be God to us. That's what Christmas is all about. Bow with me. And Father, I pray that we'll be impacted by the message of the morning and understand that you love us so much. And in everything we try to do at Christmas time, to make Christmas more relevant, help us not to allow the tinsel and the trees and the presents and the songs and all that Christmas speaks about take away our understanding of who you are. Some of us this morning need you desperately, Father. Thank you for sending Jesus to meet the need of our lives. For we ask this in the name of Jesus. Amen. Making